Hello and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, June 23rd, 2008. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Savannah Black, specializing in bulk unrefined shea butter, black soap, and beautiful African drums imported directly from the motherland, all at affordable prices. Visit www.savannahblack.net for more details and to place your order today. Well, as energy costs climb and the economy takes a slide, indie business owners are going back to basics. We're putting our creative energy into overdrive to find low-cost, creative solutions to cut costs, all without compromising quality products and services. Yes, it's so easy for me to say that, but when the rubber meets the road in a recessive economy, it's no small feat to maintain a healthy profit margin. And today's guest says she has some tips to help us do that. But first, let's meet today's guest indie co-host. She's Lori Nova of the Nova Studio in San Francisco, California. Lori and her staff of talented artisans teach a variety of do-it-yourself classes like soap making, cosmetics making, and jewelry making. Lori's been a member of the Indie Beauty Network since May 2006, and since then she's proven herself to be one of the most creative and tenacious indie business owners I have ever met. Lori, welcome to Indie Business Radio.
Thank you so much, Donna Maria.
Well, Lori, these times are economically challenging, but your business is growing and expanding, and not everybody's able to say that these days. Tell us a little bit about some of the new things that you've added in the past 6 or 8 months that make it such an inspirational story to keep us all focused on moving forward, even despite a tough economy.
Well, I'm in an interesting position because instead of making products for my living, what I do is I teach other people to make products, and many of my customers and my students are themselves turning the product making into a business. And it's even though the economy has been tough, it's actually even driven people, that fact has driven people even more into wanting to find something that they're not only passionate about, but something they can make some money on. And I believe it drives them even more to do so. So my business is in an interesting situation in that the economy slowing down did not affect it in a negative way. But the interesting thing with what's happening currently with the gas prices, that is actually affecting us because we do have people who come in from a very far distance. So
wow.
One of the things that I am personally focusing on myself and also encouraging my customers, especially those who are going into business, is it used to be very simple, or it still is very simple, to start making products and selling them. It doesn't take a lot of money to get started, something that people can see a return on pretty quickly. But what's not easy is to have a business, a real business, that will sustain itself and will grow during these ups and downs. So one of the areas that I've been going into more is supporting my students through offering business classes. So it's not enough just to know how to make really good products, but what do you need to have a business that's going to survive and, you know, really make it something that's going to be able to support you?
So, Lori, you're seeing an increased number of people who are starting businesses as opposed to maybe 2 or 3 years ago when most people were just kind of interested in a hobby and something kind of fun to do on the side in their downtime?
Definitely. Many, many more people are interested in doing something that they're passionate about, that they're interested in, and, you know, trying to find that balance between work and life.
So it's not scaring people off then overall, is what you're saying?
No, I think because people are working harder than ever. I think they're getting tired of working in jobs that either they don't feel personally invested in, or they don't get their creative side fed at all. And I'm working on that myself because running any business involves a lot of left brain work. And even though I own a creative business, there is a lot of it that it's very left brain, and you have to to run any business, there are things that you do that are completely not creative and very routine. So even though people who make these types of products are creative, we really need to understand what needs to be done on the other side in order to make a successful business. So it is balancing both of those parts that I believe is really key.
Well, Laura, you've done a fantastic job of adding some of those elements in from the other side of your brain there, including a blog that you recently launched, which is very interesting. I want to talk a little bit about that, but I know that today's guest is chomping at the bit to get in on this conversation. She is Reva Lozansky. She is the CEO of SMB Connect, the leading provider of information, data, decision support tools, and research for and about America's small and mid-sized businesses. Her business helps connect corporations, government agencies, and other organizations to identify, understand, and connect with small business owners and provides information, products, and services and resources to help build businesses. She is also the former editor of Entrepreneur Magazine, and she was named as one of the top most influential journalists by Business News Reporter 5 times. Welcome to the show, Reva.
Thanks, Donna Marie. It's great to be here.
So what do you think about Lori's situation? She's saying that despite the economy, she's seeing more people coming in, patronizing her business, wanting to start businesses of their own.
You know, it may sound counterintuitive, but it's actually typical. When you look back at the last major recession we had in this country in the late 80s, stock market crashed, a lot of people found themselves out of jobs. That's exactly what happened. It's exactly how this entrepreneurial revolution that took place in the 90s, people found themselves out of jobs, said, what am I going to do? I've got to pay the mortgage. You know, I've got to make the car payment. And they turned to starting businesses and found that they really liked it because it gave them the independence that they liked. They weren't sort of dependent on somebody else. So now you look at Lori's situation today and you look at, okay, here's the recession. People have started businesses. They're still starting businesses, but the economy is troublesome, so you have to come up with, using both parts of the brain, I like what Lori said, you have to come up with both right and left brain solutions to that tough times, how am I going to market my business challenge.
Well, if you're out there listening to Reva and Lori and me today, we invite you to give us a call with your questions or comments. Maybe you're working on starting a business or the one that you have is kind of falling on tough times because of the economy. We want you to join us and get your questions answered and maybe even offer your tips to help some other indies out there who may be struggling during these tough economic times. The toll-free number is 800-773-0355. Lori, I want to ask you about a conversation we had, oh gosh, maybe it was almost a year ago, and we talked about some of the things that we were both going to do to expand our businesses, and one of the things you've added is a blog. I want you to tell me a little bit about how that's impacted your business. And then, Reva, I know that's one of the tips that you think is important in terms of using technology, so I want your comments on that, too. Lori, when did you launch your blog, and what's it done for your business?
Well, I launched it, about in January, so about 6 months ago. And I'm very apprehensive to get into new technologies. I wouldn't consider myself a technologically savvy person, so new things like this do kind of scare me. Also, being a business owner, I have 1,000 things pulling at my attention in different directions. So, but just through talking to people, being aware that blogs were something that that most smart business owners were starting and doing. excuse me.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you mentioned about technology and you're not a techie person, but Reva, I know since you have worked with so many small business owners around the country over the years, in particular in your position with Entrepreneur Magazine for so long, you probably worked with a lot of people who were trying to come up with creative ways to grow a business and when the economic times were not what they are today.
Exactly. What you have to do, most people, when they have a business, the first thing they think about when times are tough is I'm going to cut marketing. And that's the last thing you should think about. If you can find it, I always say increase your marketing. So the first thing you do is sit down and see, are there other things you can cut? Are there some areas in your business that there's some waste going on? You might look at the subscriptions you get. Can you read those magazines or newspapers online for free rather than pay money to get them, you know, every month? And actually, generally online is quicker. So one, you can look at that money. And then you invest in marketing. And the key to marketing today is, one, making noise, but two, being very mindful about what it's costing you, and that's when you go online. I mean, first of all, whatever your business is, I hope everybody has a website selling what they sell. You can sell products on your website. You can sell information on your website. You can do webinars, so you can do instruction on your website. And the web makes everything so much cheaper. Then you have to look at, so, you know, you're saying marketing, that's all about the right brain, you know. Okay, we can market, we can get out there, we can let people know we exist. Blogs are smart. They're just a marketing tool. Blogs are just a marketing tool. They are very simple to do. Then you think about, from the left side of the brain, okay, how am I going to pay for this? And you have to, like, really look around and find the best places that provide you with the solutions at either free or no cost. I've been working with the people at Small Business Office Live from Microsoft, and you can find, you know, you build a website, web hosting, free. Tools to email, free. You need to, the most important part about marketing and economy is being in touch with your customers, and if you do it with email, it's cheap and it's easy to do.
Well, and let's talk about that too, Reva, because what you're sharing is, you know, embracing technology and essentially I call it making technology your slave and whipping it around and making
exactly
what you want it to do. But Reva, you know, there's so much noise out there. I think you use that term, noise. There's so much noise, and everybody's trying to get somebody's ear, and so many people are saying the same thing. I mean, what are some of your tips for moving past all that noise and really separating yourself out?
You have to provide that, you know, there's two ways that you can sell your business. You can sell the features of your business, or you can sell the benefits of your business. The features are all about you, and that might matter to you and your mom, but it really doesn't matter to your customer. What matters to your customer are the benefits. What can you do for me? So if you look at your marketing message and hone it to, here are the benefits, and then hopefully you've done some work, you've found either mailing lists, emailing lists, make sure they're opt-in, of where you can reach people who are interested in your product. You start doing affiliate programs where you start doing links to with other sites that may have similar products that you do. Beauty sites, for instance. You know, Lori said she's doing some kind of soap. Well, maybe someone else is doing something, not soap, but something similar. So people can link to each other and send customers, and sometimes you get a cut of that. That costs you pennies to do. But also what you really need to think about is every time you make a sale, even whatever sale you have to capture that information, because it's much easier to market to your customers that you have than to go find new ones. And then when you have that customer, not only can you market to them and remarket to them so you get them back, but you basically put them to work for you. You ask them to spread the word for you. And again, this all happens online. You know, when you do something, let's say somebody buys from you and you send them, you know, maybe an email reminder that said, you know, here's your order, it'll be here. Always include, like, tell a friend. You know, or if it's a business product, tell a colleague. And that way they can just email that link and say, it could be even a built-in message to say, hey, look what I found. This stuff is fabulous. I wanted to let you know about it. Or make room that they can provide their own message. So now for absolutely no money, you've had one satisfied customer telling their friends about your products.
Reva, what do you think it is about some of the things you just talked about that terrifies people enough so that they start a great website and they have a great product, but they never get to the point where you're talking about? I mean, I know businesses that have a good product and a nice website, but it's almost like there's a disconnect between having a nice product, and as you said, I guess you called it, you know, the features of your product,
mm-hmm.
and actually being able to, you know, move with technology and get to the point where you can have more than just a nice product, because it's not about your products anymore, really.
No, it isn't. And you know what? I think you said it. You have the answer is people are terrified because they hear the word technology. They say, oh, technology, and people automatically go, you know what? I'm a tech idiot. I can't do it. So what you have to do is you have to find help. You have to find solutions out there that can get it done for you. So let's say you want to design a website or you have a website and it needs to be better. Well, you can go find somebody to do it for you, spend a lot of money hiring independent people, and if you have the money, that's not a bad thing to do. Or you can go find, if you go online to something like smallbusiness.officelive, you can find the solutions right there, free or really cheap. And the whole point is one-stop shopping. That's what stops a lot of people. It's like, okay, I have to go here to do this, and I have to go here to do that, and I have to go. It's sort of like, think about the supermarket. The supermarkets became popular because people, instead of going to the butcher shop for one thing and the produce stand for something else and the drugstore for something else, all of a sudden they became one-stop shopping. And so you need to find the one-stop solution that's going to provide you with the technological answer so you don't have to be going here, there, and everywhere and spending a whole lot of money in each place.
And that certainly is a challenge to get it all in one place. We're going to come back and pick your brain a little bit about that, Reva.
Okay.
I'm going to take our first break. This is Donna Maria on Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here with Reva Lazonski, former editor of Entrepreneur Magazine and also a well-respected entrepreneurial expert and an author, and also the CEO of SMB Connects. We're joined by our guest indie co-host today, Lori Nova, of the Nova Studio in San Francisco, California. And by the way, that's www.thenovastudio.com if you're interested in learning how to make some stuff and also make some stuff that you can sell and start a business. But, you know, I want to remind you guys about something very important. This is an issue that is close to my heart because most of my listeners and, of course, members of the Indie Beauty Network are cosmetics manufacturers. And we have been hard at work here at the Indie Beauty Network over the past few weeks looking at draft legislation, the FDA Globalization Act of 2008, which if you haven't heard anything about it, I want you to check out my blog in a couple of days. This is a live show, so we just did the taping today for an overview of the Globalization Act of 2008, why we oppose it, and what you can do to make your voice heard as the congressional staffers are marking up this bill, which would impose, are you ready for this, $12,000 a year fees. A registration fee of up to $12,000 a year could be imposed on cosmetics manufacturers. What do you think that will do to people trying to start a business and pay for gas and bread and food and college education these days? I don't think it's a good thing. So, and the Indie Beauty Network members don't think it's a good thing, and consumers don't think it's a good thing, because guess what it means? If we can't go into business, they're going to be stuck with big, huge global cosmetics companies and a bunch of big box stores selling cheap stuff imported from some other country. We do not want that. Here's what you can do. Go to theindiebusinessblog.com and click on the category for the FDA Globalization Act of 2008 and make your voice heard. There's going to be a video there in a day or so. It will contain all the information you need to contact your members of Congress and the staffers that are marking up this legislation so we can make sure that, of course, we want consumers to be protected. We want safe products. Indie Beauty Network members endeavor to manufacture safe products, but we also want to do it on a level playing field. And this law, if it's passed, would basically put so many businesses out of business, and this would impact families and consumers across the country. We don't want that to happen. So check it out at theindiebusinessblog.com in the category for the FDA Globalization Act of 2008. Now, Reba, before we took our break, you had mentioned the idea that, you know, we need to incorporate technology to cut our costs and keep in touch with our customers, and you mentioned that we should try and look for a one-stop solution to all of our technology needs. Tell us a little bit about what you mean by that and, you know, what happens when the one-stop ends and you have to go someplace else.
Well, at some point, you're going to need to bring other players in. But when you're a small business, and I'm talking right now for people with no employees or less than 10, so it's the under 10 employee business, you don't have an IT person. Chances are if you hire an IT consultant, it's going to cost you a lot of money. So it's, you need to find a solution that's really geared to you. And part of, like you said, there's so many people fighting to get your attention today, but you really need to look at them. In the past several years, when small business got really hot, you know, in the 90s, and people going, oh, all these people starting business, some of the solution providers to bigger businesses, I had a joke with a friend of mine who's been in this industry for a long time, covering technology, actually coverage of small business, and he said, so they took their big box and they cut off, you know, like three quarters of the box and said, here's a solution for small business. And, you know, that's like saying I want a small car and giving me a car with two wheels instead of four. It doesn't work. You need a solution that's crafted just for small businesses. And so you really want to check and make sure that what you're getting with something like that is made specifically for you. So you know, there's a lot of places out there that claim it. So look at people who are actually been doing it, people who have signed up a lot of customers, people who are obviously providing services. Well, I'm doing some work with Microsoft, the Small Business Office Live team, and when they have, let's say you go and you go there and you sign up. You get your website, then you get web tools, then you get, there's a lot of information. When I first started at Entrepreneur Magazine, it was 1978. There was no information out there. It was impossible to find out, oh, I have to write a business plan? What am I supposed to put in it? Today, you know, there's go here, and there's solid information on what you need to do. You don't need to pay for this stuff. Then there's something that's really important that not many businesses use because they think it's too complicated, and it's not. You need to use some kind of contact management software. And you can find it there. And it sounds really fancy, but all it is, it's keeping track of what your customers order, when they ordered it, and then that enables what I said to you about the email marketing before. So if I know that, let's say I'm one of Lori's customers and I've made some soap, and I know that generally soap, you know, if people start using it, it'll last 3 months. So maybe at like 2 months and 1 week into the cycle, I might send them another email saying, oh, hi, I hope you like the product. Just, you know, checking in to see if you need to reorder. And just make it really simple. And then all of a sudden somebody might be not thinking about it, like, or putting it off, or they put it off until they're out and then they need it, and then, well, I'm not going to order it because I'm going to just run into Target and buy it. So this way, if you are constantly putting your business in front of people, they're going to remember you and reorder, and it costs you pennies to do that rather than to go out and find somebody absolutely brand new to buy the soap or the lotion or whatever it is that you're doing. And you just have to be smart about it. There's a lot of, like you mentioned, Twitter and things like that. There's a lot of things out there, but for me, and I understand the concept of Twitter, but I don't understand how Twitter is going to bring me business. Do you know what I mean? How is Twitter going to make someone buy my product?
That's a really interesting question. I think the answer would vary business by business.
Exactly.
But you know, it's interesting. I love what you're talking about in terms of really maintaining customer contact, because I think what you're saying is so true that's key. And you know what, Reba? I want your comments on what you observe for excited, energetic, enthusiastic small business owners who find that they don't have the time to make those kinds of contacts because they are so busy trying to be all things to all people. Do you see that a lot?
Oh, yes. I mean, that's a classic problem with entrepreneurs is they're because you don't have support staff, so you don't have a lot of people, so you feel like you have to do it all. And no matter what you do, when you try to do it all, you do a lot of little things, and you might be doing them okay rather than doing a few things really, really well. So, I mean, I always advise small, independent business owners to sit down and almost do a self-assessment. What are you really good at? What do you excel at? And list that. And then what are the things that you do in your business that you just hate to do? I mean, maybe some of them you're bad at, maybe some of them you're okay at, but you hate to do, or you feel like if you're doing this, it's going to take away from really moving product or really, you know, doing some R&D and coming up with some new ideas. And so when you look at that list and you go to the negative side, if you will, and say, okay, I'm not good at this, or I hate doing this, and then say, is there a solution? Is there something else that I can do? Is there a way that can be, you know, automated? Is there a way that I can barter for that service? That's one of the things I think small business owners completely overlook is the bartering system. Let's say, you know, that I was one of the people in your network and I was making some, you know, facial lotion, let's say. And so I'm very creative. I don't know anything about numbers. I know I need an accountant, and maybe I have a regular account, but I need something to help me, you know, start figuring out how much money do I need to save, how much money do I need to reinvest in my business, is this a good ratio of what I'm doing, where are my profits coming from, what am I doing? So, but maybe you can't, you think, I can't afford it. Go find a young, and I don't mean young in age, but young in business, an accounting company that's sort of in maybe a little past the startup stages, and maybe you can barter product for services. People can barter services for services or products for products. It's not hard to do. The one thing you have to remember about barter is it should be equal. So if I'm giving you, you know, $500 worth of services on what I would normally charge, you really want to get back $500 worth of product. So it should be equal, and then you need to keep records on this because the IRS considers barter income. So you want to make sure that you just keep records and account for everything. But it's a great way to help you with your cash flow because you're not actually spending money. You're just sort of, and you can do that with any, I know somebody who used to work for me who said their mom bartered everything, including, she was a communications graphic designer. She bartered her and her brother's braces through the dentist because she gave him graphic design services and she got dental work.
It's funny that you mentioned that. We moved into a new home last year, and one of the things that was so odd was this really elaborate, fancy sink that's in one of the bathrooms. It just looks totally out of place in the house, and we found out that the person who owned it before had bartered his services as a stonemason for this fancy thing. It's like, you know, sometimes it's kind of strange, but, you know, whatever works. Lori, tell us a little bit about how you've been, you know, incorporating some of this customer contact solutions that Reva's talking about into your business.
Well, I've been fairly fortunate in that that my business seems, I get the majority of the people coming back and repeating, and the word of mouth has really been keeping my business going.
Right.
But I do get stuck in that having to do everything, feeling like I should do everything phase. And I'm actually in the process of reevaluating my business right now as I approach my 5-year anniversary is in September.
Wow.
This is my 5-year anniversary as no other job. This is my only source of income.
That's great.
I mean, you're up to almost 5 years. And Reva, one of the things you're talking about is that the tools that you're suggesting people implement are tools that work no matter what you're doing. You don't have, once they're in place, in other words, you don't actually have to be working at your business for the tool to be working for you.
No, exactly. Well, if you go get a contact management solution so you know what your customers are doing, once you set it up, And so maybe, and it's relatively simple. Once you set it up, it's in place. And so customers' names go in there. It's not, it's like online banking. You don't, every time you go to pay a bill online, you don't have to re-enter, you know, the customer, the store that you're sending it to. You just need to enter the amount and hit click. I mean, it just makes it very simple. It takes, I mean, that's a great way to look at it, actually. If you think about, if you online bank now, and if you think about how long it used to take you to sit down and write out your checks, and then you had to put them in the, I mean, there were just, it was a multi-processed, it could take hours depending on how often you did it, where today you can just go online, go, oop, there it is, click, 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 and you're done. It's the same thing. You can manage your business that way. It depends on what you need. You can manage documents that way. And then once you have, because it's almost all together, it sort of filters into one another. And so here you have your core services all in one place, all building on your website. And I feel like I haven't really emphasized that enough. If you are thinking of starting a business, if you have a business, I was astounded. I was having a conversation with some people the other day, a couple weeks ago, from Microsoft Office Live, and they said, you know, Reva, did you know that like 50% of businesses don't have websites? And I said, no way. I cannot believe that. But, you know, apparently it's true, and I don't understand it. Every business, no matter what you do, you need to have a website. Even if you don't have a product to sell, let's say you're strictly a service business. When's the last time you looked in the Yellow Pages? I can't even tell you. I mean, I get them and I throw them in the garage. I don't even know where they are. Because when I want something, I go online and look for it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's such a really good point. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about the importance of having an online presence, and not only one online presence.
Yes.
Many online presences. We're talking with Reva Lozonski, longtime journalist and former editor of Entrepreneur Magazine and author and small business expert. And we've also got Lori Nova from the Nova Studio here. We're going to take our final break. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Final segment of Indie Business Radio. Before we took our last break, our guest, Reva Lozonski, was talking about how someone told her that about 50% of businesses in existence today don't have a website. That's an astounding statistic. But you know what? It didn't surprise me, Reva, because a couple of months ago I was reading a New York Times article about the economic downturn and how it was affecting businesses. And it was a front-page story. And it featured two businesses, a computer repair company in New Hampshire and a musician in Los Angeles. And it gave the name of their business, described what towns they were in, and I Googled their names. And what did I get? Nothing.
Oh,
nothing. I could not believe that a musician did not have a MySpace page. And I could not believe that a computer repair person did not have a website.
That's
it was
unbelievable.
Astounding to me. So I was like, oh, my goodness. But, so I mean, Reva, what do you do? You've connected yourself with a company that can kind of help these people. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with Microsoft.
I'm doing some work with a division of Microsoft. It's Office Live. So their website is www.smallbusiness.officelive.com, and they have solutions for small business. And because it's a separate division, it's not, you know, Microsoft has solutions for big businesses, but they formed this separate group to say, we're going to help the 10 and under group. We're going to help these people because they need help. And so they're going to, you can go onto that website and you can get your own website. And with your website, so you can register your domain name. And it's really simple. I have to tell you, I did some work for a different division of Microsoft, and they had I was on a webinar, like a several day live show, and that they called my segment like Reva to the Rescue. And at the end of it, they said, you need to go register that domain. And I just went right in. I mean, in 3 minutes, I owned it. I was sitting there, and it was just really easy to do. So you can get that. Once you do that, there are tools that come with it. There's email, so you're able to go out and reach your customers. There's contact management software. There's project management applications. There's other business applications like managing your documents, and it's all in one place. So it makes it really simple. You come in, you sit, you go, you figure out what you need to do, and then you move on. And then if you need some other things, you have to pay, but the prices are relatively, I hate to use the word cheap, so I'll say they're relatively inexpensive. They're really affordable, and it's just so easy to do because everything there is done for you, for the person who is the small business, the indie business owner, who really needs to spend their time creating product and marketing your product, because otherwise you're not going to stay in business.
Well, it sounds like an incredibly valuable program, and you called it 10 and under. You mean 10 employees and under?
10 employees and under.
So, Reva, tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey. You transitioned from being a journalism major in college, and now you own your own business. What's the story there?
Well, I worked for Entrepreneur Magazine for 26 years, and in the fall, I just said to myself, you have to get in touch and connection with how you're feeling, what your gut is saying, and I just said, it's time to move on. I'm going to go do something. So I thought, well, I'm going to start a business. And I looked around, and the aspect of what I've been doing for the last 26 years that I really like to do was to help the entrepreneurs. Just like with Microsoft, there's a ton of corporations out there that want to reach the entrepreneur, but sometimes they don't know how to reach them, or they reach them with the wrong message. So my job at my new company, SMB Connects, is to educate the corporations about what entrepreneurs really need, what they want, you know, how you can talk to them, how you can reach them. It's sort of putting them in touch with one another, because the end goal is really to help people start more businesses, or to help the people who start, help them grow businesses, and the under 10 employees hopefully one day will be 50 plus and then 100 plus. You know, everybody started small at some point. Nobody starts a business with 800 employees. So they all start small, they all grow, and I want to help them.
And Reva, what was that transition like? We've got a lively discussion going on now at the indiebusinessforum.com about an exit plan. I blogged about it last week. One of my IBN members had a 3-year exit plan, which she just finally executed the last stage of last week. So she's now full-time in her business. What was your exit strategy like, just in general broad terms? And was it easy? Was it hard? I mean, 20 years is a long time to have a job these days.
It is. You know what? It was, and I'm going to knock on wood as I say this, it was easier than I thought, but what I did in terms of it, I don't have a left brain. I mean, I will be really honest with you. Whatever it was when I was born, they gave it to somebody else. I think my brother's got my left brain. So it's for me, I'm very impressed that person sat down and came up with a three-year exit strategy. I decided in the fall I was going to do this, and I was out in less than 5 months. I brought three of my top entrepreneur employees with me, and here's what I did. I sat down and said, who do I know that can help me? I know I can't do this alone. Who do I know that can help me? And I made a list of basically friends. I don't even mean business. That was part two, but part one were friends. And I thought, ooh, this guy does this. I could help him out. This person does this. So I just started calling my friends and saying, you know what, I want to leave. Is there any way you can give me some work? Is there some freelance work, or can I do this for you? And then I started amassing oh yeah, look, I have a job from here and I have a job from here. And then friends started saying, really, you're doing this? Well, I heard this client needs this. And so a lot of it was working your network. And, you know, a lot of people say the word networking and they go, ooh, sounds like you guys have a great network. You've got this blog. You've got these discussions. You've got to work your network, and not just necessarily in your industry. Think of anybody that you know. In fact, I called my cousin one day because I had a question about health care coverage, and I know he ran his own business. Like, what do you do? You know, do you do COBRA? What do you do? And so he, in the course of telling me that, he said, hey, you know, I like to invest in small business, so if I can give you some money. So it wasn't a lot, but it was good enough to help me. So reach out to everybody you know so they can possibly help you out. That's number one. Number two, after that, start working your professional network. You know, the people maybe that you've done business with in the past. Maybe they're looking for someone to represent them. That's how I ended up, you know, doing some work here with Microsoft, is I had done some stuff for them when I was at Entrepreneur, and they knew who I was. We got along, and they thought, hey, Reva, can you help us out? Not on this thing, on something else. So think about everyone you've ever done business with and say, you know what, it's worth a phone call. It's worth an email. And just put yourself out there. I think one of the things people are afraid to do when they start a business is really put yourself out there and understand it's okay to be scared. It's okay. Don't beat yourself up because you're a little bit fearful. It's fine. A friend of mine who's got a background in physiological, he's not quite a doctor, but he studied all that. He said fear and excitement are exactly the same emotion in your brain. It's how you interpret them. So if you're feeling scared, sit down for a moment and see if you can actually take that fear and turn it into excitement.
You know, and entrepreneurs, indie business owners, we've got to do that. There's no option.
Exactly, because you know what? No one's going to do it for you. But, you know, people in your network, you are perfectly poised at this time because people are tired of let's say, to the cosmetics. I love beauty products. It's one of my favorite things on earth. But
you have to go to indiebeauty.com and get some, but go ahead.
You know what, I definitely will do that, but I'm tired. I'm tired of walking into a department store and paying a lot of money for something because I know I'm paying somebody's, you know, multi-million-dollar CEO buyout. And it's what it is. I know that I'm paying for marketing and I'm paying for all these things, but I don't know where to get them, and now I know. I mean, thank you for telling me that. But so that's part of it, is people in your network need to somehow start reaching out, and you need to do PR work. You need to let people know you exist so people like me can find you.
I would love to talk with you a little bit more about that, because I think we as indie business owners are the new PR. I mean, we are our own media outlet, which is a whole other show. Maybe we'll have you back to talk about that one, since you have so much media background. But you're talking about, you know, doing the networking and doing all the things and bringing them together. And Lori, you have an interesting resource that you're using to help you kind of manage all the hats that you're wearing. Can you share that with our listeners?
The boot camp?
Mm-hmm. No, the book.
Oh, yes. When Reva was talking about, doing the self-assessment, figuring out what you're good at, that's definitely something that I'm trying to do. And there is a book that it reminded me of. It's called Go It Alone, and just the title alone helped me. It's by Bruce Judson, and it's Go It Alone. Do what you do best and let others do the rest.
That sounds like a really great resource. And now you do have a special announcement about the boot camp. Tell us about that, Lori.
Well, basically with, again, what Reva was saying about working your network, that is so important that we do have people that are all around us who are valuable resources that I think sometimes we forget about, or we get too trapped in our own little bubbles. And the Indie Beauty Network is an amazing resource in and itself, and each other. We are each other's resources if we utilize that. So one of my ideas that I've had for a very long time that's finally coming to fruition is a four-day business boot camp for people in the bath and body field specifically. And it's with 7 people, 7 experts in most of them who are veterans in the field, who have been in business for right around 10 years each. And it's, to me, the most valuable thing is that these people are there. They're willing to share this information with you. They've done it. It's that whole don't reinvent the wheel concept.
Right, and I'm so excited to be one of the speakers. Lori, can you give us the website address and the dates for people to go sign up?
Yes, it's thenovastudio.com, and you can Google it if you can't find it. We are on Google. It's September 20th through the 23rd.
Great, and I understand you just announced it a few days ago, and there's already sign-ups.
We already have some sign-ups, which I'm very excited about. You know, we've done individual three-hour classes on business, and I can see the need, and it's something that, like Reva was saying, and I know, Donna Maria, you feel this too, we see all these people who are trying to start businesses, and, you know, we want to help them succeed, because it's really not hard to start a business, but to sustain it, to make it successful, both to make it profitable and to make it personally successful. There are a lot of things that need to be paid attention to, and you know there are resources out there to help us.
So, Lori, is your boot camp? Do you have to come in person?
You do. Unfortunately, you do have to come in person.
So, have you thought about recording it and making it into a podcast?
I did. That crossed my mind at some point that if we could get this out to people. That would be good.
Yeah, it might be hard to do it simultaneously, but if you record it as it's going on, you can then turn it into audio that people will come to your site to listen to because, or somebody who's actually there and needs a refresher on something, they'll come back to your site because they can go and listen to it again.
You can videotape it.
Or videotape it.
YouTube. And, you know, Reba, picking up on what Lori talked about having a boot camp, you know, we're almost out of time, but, you know, it's almost like today, and you're a good person to comment on this, having been at Entrepreneur Magazine during good times and bad times economically. It's almost today, and I believe that we have gotten to the point today where everyone, regardless of what kind of job you have, has to have, unless you're in the top, you know, 1% of income-producing people in the country, you've got to have a business of your own.
You know what? You do have to have a business of your own. And even if you are in the top 1%, if you are not working for yourself, you have no guarantee you're going to stay at that company. You could be, you know, the best. You could be the number one sales producer, and somebody above you, you know, they die, they retire, they do something, and someone just decides, I'm going to make a change just for the sake of making a change. So really, owning your own business is yours. It's your security. It's the way you can control the rest of your life.
Such a good way to put it. And tell us that website where we can go learn more about the services offered, Reva, that you're talking about earlier.
It's www.smallbusiness.officelive.com.
Well, everybody check it out, thenovastudio.com in September, and the website that Reva just mentioned. Fantastic resources to help you get started, maintain your business. Reva, you've given us some great tips today. We really appreciate you joining. I'm so glad to have you. And hopefully we'll be able to have you back again. I want you guys to visit indiebusinessblog.com and check out the video I just posted from last week's Indies in the City, the first one we've had outside Washington, D.C. The next one is going to be coming up in Columbia, South Carolina in July. And then I'm also becoming to Portland, Chicago, San Diego, Seattle, Raleigh, Durham, Atlanta, and as Lori just said, San Francisco. I am so excited. I am pumped up, and I am ready to fight the FDA Globalization Act of 2008 and make sure that indie business owners nationwide, and not just in the cosmetics industry, but Reva just said it, you need to have a business of your own. If the government is legislating us out of business, then we can't just sit back and let that happen. We've got to do something. Visit indiebusinessblog.com. Make your voice heard at the legislative level in your state. We've got to join together and make this thing happen. Reva and Lori, thanks for joining today. This is Donna Maria signing off on Indie Business Radio. I'll see you next week. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.